It is difficult to fathom, but at this point, we're not just talking about a plane crash in the Alps that killed 150 people. We're talking about a possible mass murder.
The intention was to destroy this plane.
That's French prosecutor Brice Robin speaking this morning through an interpreter. He confirmed reports that the pilot of Germanwings flight 9525 was locked out of the cockpit by his co-pilot, and that the evidence suggests it was the co-pilot himself who deliberately crashed the plane on Tuesday. The CEO of Lufthansa, which owns Germanwings, said he was stunned by the revelations, but ultimately Carsten Spohr went on to say there is no way to prevent a rogue pilot from bringing down a plane.
I would like to repeat, irrespective of your safety criteria, and even if it is very, very sophisticated, you can never exclude such an individual event. No system in the world would manage to do so.
I agree with that. If a pilot wants to crash an airplane, he can crash it. He doesn't need anything to do it.
That's Fintan Ryan, a pilot with 25 years' experience with Aer Lingus out of Ireland. Ryan says regulations for airline cockpit safety rules changed a lot after 9/11, especially regarding the doors.
There was very strict criteria laid down as to whether they should be bulletproof and hand grenade proof and all that sort of thing. And the entry and exit rules were a bit weird, but basically you had a situation where if a cabin crew member or a flight attendant wanted to go into the cockpit, they called on the interphone and told the pilot that they wanted to come in, and the pilot would recognize them and say, okay, Mary, you can come in now, and she would actually press a button and the pilots would allow the door to be opened. On the other hand, if somebody who they didn't want was in the cockpit tried to get in, the door would be locked and they would not be able to get in.
We're talking about a situation, though, that the doors are so secure that even the lead pilot can't get back in. That seems like an oversight.
Well, it's an oversight. And it's a system problem, really, because you want to keep out the bad guys and let in the good guys. Now, you assume that you will never have a situation where you have nobody in the cockpit. So the arrangement is that you can always get into the cockpit, provided the pilot or the person in the cockpit wants to allow you to get in there. So if somebody wants to get in the cockpit that is not wanted in the cockpit, the pilot can keep the door locked indefinitely.
The rules prior to 9/11, what were the rules about getting into the cockpit?
The rules then were based what's called a sterile cockpit. And this was a situation where the flight attendants should stay out of the cockpit at times when the workload was high. And this would be, say, 10 minutes before landing, 10 minutes after takeoff, and if there was rough weather or thunderstorms, that sort of thing, and if the workload in the cockpit, so the cockpit door would be locked in. But normally the cockpit door was left open, so anybody who strolled by could actually walk in.
I'm curious, do air marshals of any nationality travel internally on European flights, and would that have made any difference?
Well, I don't think it would have made any difference because even the air marshal couldn't have got into the cockpit. I mean, there is an arrangement in the U.S., and it's standard practice in the U.S., that if one pilot wants to leave the cockpit, let's say to go to the bathroom, then one of the flight attendants or perhaps a deadheading pilot would sit in the cockpit so that there's always two people there, because there is a danger that when there is one pilot in the cockpit, that pilot, you know, could become disabled one way or the other, could get very sick or something, and you'd have nobody minding the cockpit. So there is an arrangement in the US and with a lot of airlines in Europe that there is always has to be two people in the cockpit, but that procedure was not used by Lufthansa.
There was another budget airline, Norwegian Air Shuttle, which today said it's going to start to require two crew members always present in the cockpit to fly the aircraft. To you, does it sound like a reasonable solution?
Well, it's a solution to this particular case. But just to explain something else, that if the pilot, supposing one pilot goes back and the other pilot is left in there, that pilot can lock the door and he has a situation that if anybody puts in any code or anything, that he can actually override that code so he can keep a person out. So this is what this co-pilot did. Every time somebody wanted to get in, he just overrode the system and kept the cockpit locked.
The bottom line here, though, Fintan, is that we're talking now about pilots as a possible threat. I mean, we must clarify that there's still a lot we don't know about the co-pilot, but do you see this as a game changer?
I think it will be a game changer. I mean, there was a time when nobody would even conceive of a pilot doing that sort of thing. You know, there was a sort of, if you like, honor about it, that pilots were above this sort of thing, like other professions, and they wouldn't do these things. But there is no way you can stop this. There's no system that will stop a pilot either crashing or hijacking an aircraft, because they're totally in control, and they have to be.
Former pilot Fintan Ryan, he flew for 25 years with the Irish carrier Aer Lingus. Fintan, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.